McLeavy slips into a long room and behind a curtain that hides a winding staircase. I take a deep breath and trail her at a safe distance. When I reach the bottom, I fear I have lost her, but soon I hear her footsteps. Taking great pains to be as quiet as possible, I follow. We seem to be in a tunnel under the hall, for I still hear the hustle and bustle above us. Miss McLeavy goes into a large, dimly lit room that houses all sorts of exhibitions, statues, exotic costumes, magic apparatus, a placard for the Wolfson brothers with the word scoundrels painted across it. I secrete myself behind a bust of some Egyptian goddess sporting a lion's head. McLeavy is arguing with someone in the shadows.
You lied to me. I don't take kindly to liars. This is not a game we're playing. I saved your life. You're in my debt, or have you forgotten?
I can't hear the answer, nor can I see more without revealing myself.
I must know everything from now on,
McLeavy commands.
I don't think I need to remind you that they would kill you where you stand if they knew you were here with me. If you mean to save them, you must follow me. It's the only way.
She pushes her hair into place and fiddles with the brooch at her collar until it's straight.
For 25 years I've been devoted to the cause. I do not mean to lose to the Rakshana or a 16-year-old girl. Go on, then, before you're seen.
The figure in the dark retreats. I shrink behind the giant statue, and Miss McLeavy hurries back the way she came. I wait until I no longer hear the echo of her footsteps, and then I return to the hall, where the audience delights in the merry image of a jumping dog and a clown juggling balls. I steal a quick glance at McLeavy. The triumph I felt earlier at deceiving her has been replaced by wariness. To whom could she have been talking? Was it Falson? Is he her spy within the Rakshana? You lied to me, she said. Lied about what? And whom did they mean to save? At last, Mr. Wolfson shuts down the lamp that fuels the magic lantern. The room burns with light once again, and the ghostly apparitions vanish from the walls. But the haunts inside me won't leave so easily.
I thank you for your kind attention, ladies and gentlemen,
Mr. Wolfson's voice booms out.
These images are enchantments of a sort, but they are illusions, dreams born of gas and light. Our good hosts, Maskelyne and Cook, have made it their work to expose the fraudulent among us. I would advise you to be on guard against all forms of trickery and deceit disguised as truth. We shall play again at 8 o'clock this evening, and tomorrow again at 3 and 8. We bid you good evening all.
We're ushered from the hall in a crushing sea of excited people making their last-minute purchases. I try to keep a safe distance from McLeavy, holding fast to my friend's arms. Where did you go, Gemma? Felicity asks. I followed McLeavy. She had a secret meeting with someone. Who? Anne asks. I look behind me, but McLeavy is deep in conversation with Lafarge and Inspector Kent. I couldn't see who it was. Perhaps it was someone from the Rakshana or the Order, I say, and tell them all I know. The streets are a madhouse of people and carriages, gloom and bustle. The programme has promised carriages at 5 o'clock, but there are far too many people for so few carriages, and we shall be forced to wait an eternity.
Right,
Inspector Kent says.
Let's see what the law can do.
He marches purposefully toward the man corralling the cabs.